हाल ही में ऑस्ट्रेलिया इंडिया काउंसिल के नए सदस्यों का ऐलान किया गया है। विदेश मंत्री ऑस्ट्रेलिया ने मिस्टर अशोक जैकब को दोबारा ऑस्ट्रेलिया इंडिया काउंसिल का अध्यक्ष नियुक्त किया है। इसके अलावा लीजा सिंह, टेड बेलियो और मैथ्यू हेडन को सदस्य बनाया गया है। लीजा सिंह इस काउंसिल की उपाध्यक्ष भी होंगी। लीजा सिंह तस्मानिया से लेबर पार्टी की सांसद रह चुकी हैं। इसके अलावा तस्मानिया की सरकार में मंत्री भी रही हैं, मानवाधिकारों के लिए काम करती रही हैं, इमिग्रेशन पर काम करती रही हैं और भारत से उनका पुराना नाता है। भारतीय मूल की लीजा सिंह से हमने बातचीत की और जानना चाहा कि उनकी प्राथमिकताएं क्या होंगी ऑस्ट्रेलिया इंडिया काउंसिल में रहते हुए। लीजा सिंह, वेलकम टू SBS हिंदी।
थैंक यू फॉर हैविंग मी।
And congratulations on being appointed as a member of Australia-India Council. What are your priorities? How do you look at this opportunity?
Well, look, I'm delighted to join the Australia-India Council board with so many distinguished board members, both existing and new ones. I think for me, though, the role is really about my own experience and what I bring to that role. Being my experience of being a former Member of Parliament in the Australian Parliament, and also my own personal background as someone of Indian origin. And over that time, what I've tried to do is sort of build on our people-to-people links between Australia and India. So I think that's really the strength that I bring to the table of the Australia-India Council Board. It's both my understanding of government, but also my understanding of the Indian diaspora in Australia and the importance of our people-to-people links.
What do you think, Lisa, is the strength of Indian diaspora in Australia?
Look, I think the Indian diaspora continues to amaze. I mean, it's the fastest growing diaspora here in Australia. Of course, Indians that choose to settle in Australia recognise this is a very colourfully multicultural country, so I'm sure they feel right at home. But at the same time, they bring to Australia the values that they hold, that they brought from India, and indeed their own cultural values as well. And some of those values are shared. I mean, things like us both being democracies, understanding and supporting the rule of law, these are all shared values. And I think that's what makes Indians who settle in Australia such a great fit, because they do understand already some of those sort of generic values in our way of life. But I think over and above that, they contribute a lot of cultural understanding to the broader Australian community, be it through obviously festivals like Diwali, but also just in terms of, you know, wanting to be part of a broader Australian conversation around multiculturalism. I think that we can, though, tap in more through our work on the Australia-India Council to the Indian diaspora to share the work and the focus of the Australia-India Council with them, ensuring that they are aware of our work and seeking their feedback.
Considering the Australian relations with China in the present moment, do you think India can replace China for Australia?
Well, look, I think that, you know, the current situation in terms of Australia's relationship with China at the diplomatic level, it's obviously at a low point, and we've only seen that in recent days with the return of Australian journalists safely to Australia. I think, though, that the Australia-India relationship has been growing now for a number of years, regardless of the relationship with China. And I don't think we should sort of necessarily pitch one up against the other. I think that our relationship with India has become more and more important as India's economy has continued to rise. And I think Australia has recognised that. It's both in Australia's national interest and India's national interest for us to forge a new partnership on that basis, both on an economic front and on a social front, to ensure that in our region, the Australia-India relationship is as robust and strong and supportive of each other as it can be. And I think that is regardless of wherever the Australia-China relationship stands.
So what could be those areas, those potential areas where India and Australia can collaborate in the near future?
Well, as I'm sure your listeners would be aware, a couple of years ago now, former Australian High Commissioner to India and former Australian Secretary of the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, Peter Varghese, released the Australia-India Economic Strategy. Now, that India Economic Strategy is a very important document that sets out the way forward for Australia's focus on India. It outlines a number of opportunities in 10 different sectors, in 10 different states in India, that we can sort of forge a stronger relationship with. It is a very ambitious plan. It's a plan, though, that truly transforms Australia's economic partnership with India right out to 2035. And I think one of the exciting things about that economic plan is that it establishes sort of innovative and dynamic and sustainable linkages between both Australia and India, and which will only improve both countries, both in terms of reality, but also in perception. And I think harnessing that sort of leadership of Australia's Indian diaspora here through alumni groups and expats in India as well of Australians will only help strengthen those people-to-people and business links. But one thing I am concerned about, and that is, of course, the fact that we're currently facing this pandemic, and there is no resting of that at the moment in terms of its spread in India, which I'm really concerned about for India, but also in terms of that economic partnership that we want to forge. Because when we think about people to people links, you know, two of the sort of most important exports for Australia and India is education and tourism. Now, both of those have been significantly affected by COVID-19 pandemic. And, you know, there's associated travel restrictions, I'm sure your listeners have had to deal with in terms of family coming home and vice versa. So I think these are some of the challenges that the Australia-India Council will face, and indeed the relationship of Australia and India will face. Education and tourism taking a hit because of this pandemic.
Lisa, you have been a very strong advocate of liberal immigration policy. Liberal in the sense that not liberal parties, but a liberal policy. But in the recent years, we have seen that Australian immigration policy has not been so generous, I would say. Do you think you, as a member of Australia-India Council, would be propagating, would be advocating in that sense? Because considering India is one of the largest partners as far as immigration is concerned.
Well, look, I have been outspoken about immigration policy, but more through a human rights lens, I would say. I think in terms of India, Indians to Australia have been one of the largest recipients as migrants, and I think have fared very well in terms of Australia's immigration policy, both in terms of skilled migration, temporary migration, international students and the like. Of course, we want that to continue. We want that to continue with India, and I certainly would advocate for that. Obviously, that's now, again, a challenge in terms of travel restrictions and the pandemic we face. And I know our university sector, you know, is really at the forefront of that, and the students that are enrolled there from India and elsewhere are suffering and dealing with these realities. But I think in terms of your question, I do have a very liberal open mind to immigration, and I think we should be a welcoming country. We're not a country that has a large population, as you know. We have scope for migrants to settle and contribute to our economy. And I think perhaps these are some of the considerations that need to be given in a post-pandemic environment, when we do need to start looking at rebuilding our economy and what that will mean for Australia at the moment, things are not great. We're obviously in a recession. We're dealing with something that no one ever thought we would have to deal with. And we can only hope that we can forge stronger links with India to help each other as part of an economic recovery plan out of that.
And as far as human rights are concerned, the current Indian government has faced some criticism from many human rights groups in the recent years for alleged human rights abuse in India. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I'm not, you'd have to be more specific in terms of what those human rights abuses are.
For example, for instance, Kashmir and the abrogation of Article 370, which we saw last year. After that, many people were concerned that human rights of Kashmiris were being abused, the people were being abused, and even now they have not been given the full rights.
Well, look, I think in terms of any sort of issue of human rights, it's always important to ensure there is thorough sorts of investigations that go into identifying, who were the persecutors in those situations, having that documented and having the necessary actions taken to resolve any sorts of abuse. I mean, of course, when we talk about human rights, you know, there are human rights abuses, I think, that happen right across the globe, not just in one country, and I think it's up to all of us to ensure that governments that have signed up to certain human rights treaties or conventions, that they uphold those conventions and ensure that their citizens are protected accordingly. So I think, I'm sure, both governments, Australia and India, can be looking inward and improving on human rights. But one thing the UN provides, of course, is the Universal Periodic Review, which is a review conducted by the UN Human Rights Council. It happens every couple of years for each country. Both Australia and India undergo that review process, which allows external countries to actually ensure, look into whether or not there have been those sorts of human rights issues within those countries and provide recommendations of how those governments can fix those problems. So that's one platform in which both Australia and India can have their human rights record challenged and improved upon.
Well, thank you so much for sparing time, Lisa Singh, and looking forward to your role as a member.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to continuing to talk to a number of your listeners, to the Australian Indian diaspora here, on how we can advance Australia's relationship with India. Thank you.